got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this time of hearing your word. Speak to us. Meet us in the text and tell of the truth so that every hearer's heart may not only hear but heed what you have to say to us. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Glory. Glory. There's nobody like our God. He is worthy. Praise his holy name. I want to call your attention to the book of Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 13. Proverbs 13 and 13. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper today, and Jesus is the personified Word who has stated that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. It is clear that the record is that God's people perish for lack of knowledge or word. And so we want to just look at some attitudes about the word. Attitudes about the word. It says in Proverbs 13 and 13, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of God. We're talking about and find in Scripture two different attitudes about the Word. I think it's important because my desire as a pastor, preacher, teacher is to make sure that the hearer's heart hear not John E. Montgomery II, but hear the Spirit of the living God through the Word of God, so that you might become intimately acquainted with the Word of God, thereby knowing how to go in the Word and get out of the Word what you need in the Word, because the Word will be here when everything else fails. And so it's so important to build good, strong believers based on the Word of God. And everything that we deal with as relates to the Word is, again, a beneficial value for the believer, because it shows you how, from the Word, to get to the heart of God and to have the favor of God, to release the blessings and benefit, not to mention the power of God. And so therefore, your attitude about the Word of God must be right. It must be subject to what God says it ought to be, so that you can benefit from the Word. Why do you think the devil spends so much time keeping you not only away from Bible study in the corporate setting, but Bible study in a personal setting? Why do you think the devil spends so much time wearying you and putting you to sleep when you try to read the Word of God? Why do you think the devil goes through so many great lengths to try and discourage you from digging deeper in Scripture, studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? It is because the enemy knows if you know the word, then he can't handle you like he handled those without that truth. He knows that you will know who you are and whose you are and what you can do because of the word of God. It will transform you. It will bring you to a whole new place of reality in God and self and teach you how to deal with everything that life throws your way. That's why it's important to know the word. Tell your neighbor it's important to know the word. Y'all didn't even say that like you really meant it. Tell your neighbor it's important to know the word. Now let me add this for yourself. Yeah, it's good that the person on the side of you knows the word, but you need to know the word for yourself. Because there will be times the person on the side of you, the person in front of you, the person behind you will not be there for you. You need to know that the word will. Amen, somebody. Look at what the word says. Our attitude towards the word of God has a lot to do with God's attitude toward us. Did you hear what I just said? Our attitude toward God's word has a lot to do with God's attitude toward us. Here's what the word says. Whoso, or whosoever, despiseth the word shall be destroyed. That's those who have negative attitudes toward the word. But then look at those who have positive attitudes toward the word. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Now when we begin to look at this and understand this, there are a variety of ways that we are able to reject God's word, to despise God's word. This verse is broken into two areas of focus here. The first one I want you to see has to do with rejection and retribution. Rejection and retribution. I want to start here because that's where the word starts, because it says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. So first of all, you've got to see, if you reject the word, there is going to be repercussions for rejecting God's word in a negative manner. Here's what the word says, simple and plain, you'll be destroyed. Now here's what you need to know. Before you are totally destroyed, you will be experiencing destruction on multiple levels before the end comes. In other words, it is the opposite of the Midas touch. It is the demise touch. Everything you touch turns to dust. And they'll be singing the song, another one bites. You know the song, it ain't spiritual, but it's true. Now here's the point I'm trying to help some of us understand. That what we don't understand is when we reject the word of God, that we are literally rejecting God. The word is his revealed mind so that the people of God will understand what it is God wants them to know. Everything in this word of God is true. It's pure according to the word of God. What you also must recognize and understand is whatever God does not major in the word, neither should we. What I'm trying to help you understand is if God didn't make a big deal out of it, why should we? But what God has made a big deal out of, so should we. Because whatever is important to God should become important to the people of God. I've said it before, when we take our stand on issues that we face in our community, in our society, in our world, our position should be God's position. We are not smart enough, intelligent enough, savvy enough, experienced enough, versed enough, and all the rest to make a decision greater than God's decision. So when we search the word to see how God stands on any issue, that should be the stand of the believer. In other words, how can you say more than God says? how can you back up more than God backs up? So therefore, when we understand the word and believe the word and accept the word, then the word itself gives to us all that is necessary for our survival and our success. But if we reject the word, we shall be destroyed. It is a continual, ever-increasing circle of reality until the destruction is final of our souls. And so when you begin to look at that, the enemy has an ultimate plan of destruction for those who do not believe or accept God's word. It is a slow, wicked web he weaves in our lives to pull us further and further away from the truth, so that in the end our destruction is that we did not accept God, thereby not accepting his word, thereby not accepting his promises, and thereby not being saved. So when you begin to look at this word, it says again, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. Now, this is important because when we look at the variety of ways, and I just want to suggest three ways that we can despise the word of God, and if you are bright, you'll be writing this down, and if you're brighter, you'll take notes mentally and transfer them into some paper later. You'll catch that on your way home. Listen, one can despise the word of God, first of all, by disobedience. Laws that are despised are disobeyed. When you despise the word of God, when you look unfavorably on the word of God, when you do not believe the word of God, then you do not obey the word of God. And people who desire the word will not obey those things or disobey God. If you desire the word, you will not disobey God. But if you do not desire the word, you will disobey the word. If it is not convenient for you, if it causes a change in your life, if it takes away from what you prepared or planned, you will disobey the word of God for your own pleasures when you despise the word of God. Secondly, not only must you recognize that you can despise the word by disobedience, but you can despise the word by being disinterested. It's amazing how every Sunday morning people dress up, put their clothes on, get in their car, drive to the house of the Lord, sit in the worship service, enjoy the singing, and yet are disinterested in the word. They somehow think that it's nap time. Snack time, talking time, texting time, note passing time, and on, but they are disinterested in the word of God that God has ordered, ordained, prepared the preacher to present to you, because he thinks that must be much of you, and you come in his house and have the audacity, the unmitigated gall, to be disinterested in what God has to say. So to despise in the God we serve and his word means that the fact that you are so disinterested in what he has to say to you means that you are disinterested in him. And if you're disinterested in him, can I tell you what the word says? You'll be destroyed. Amen. But the third thing I need you to know is when you despise the word of God, not only will you be disobedient and not only will you be disinterested, but you're going to be constantly discrediting his word. Well, you remember when Satan was in the garden with Eve and he was trying to get her to eat of the fruit. And he discredited the word of God. He said, well, you know, if you eat of the fruit, you won't surely die. I mean, you're going to die, but... you ain't going to just drop dead. I mean, that ain't going to be no... Man, everybody going to die sometime. That wasn't the plan of God. That was not the original plan of God. But Satan discredited the word of God, and thereby speaking in a discrediting way to her caused her to discount the word of God. And when you recognize that you discredit the word of God and you make his word of non-effect, if you tell folk, yeah, I know the word says that. Thank you. But that ain't really what it means. You know, especially when you wanted to help your cause. You know, the Bible says ain't nothing wrong with a little taste every now and then. I would say, you know, wine is good for the stomach. Well, it happens that Paul and them were traveling in areas where the water was bad, and they were drinking unfermented wine. In other words, that wine didn't make them high. Like the fermented wine that's available today. And so we discount the fact that the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So here's what the word says, don't even try. But here's what the world says, everything in moderation. I know y'all never heard it, never said it, never did it. The word says no, you say no. I understand that. But there are other folk who discredit by saying, well, you know the Lord understands. It's my weakness, you know. I just, God's going to strengthen me, but I ain't there yet. Be patient with me. On and I can keep on going, but I think you understand how we discredit the word of God. First of all, God is our strength. So here is the truth. If I want to do something and it ain't in the word, then I need to be clear. I am disobeying, disrespecting, disinterested in what God has to say. I want to do what I want to do, and I hope and pray that he'll forgive me when I'm through doing it, but I want to do it instead of making up excuses trying to discredit God's word. We want to act like God omits all that he has said just to let us have our own way. God doesn't operate like that. And so when we discredit God's word, we do a disservice to those we discredit his word to. Because when you don't want them to believe everything he says, and when you come to a point where you want them to believe or want them to believe something he has said, and you didn't want them to believe something he has said that benefited you, then that same discrediting of one little thing will end up in discrediting the whole thing. You see, what we need to be with people is real. And tell them God is not through with me. Yet I've been saved and I'm being sanctified. There are just some things he's pruning on me yet. He's still working and developing on me. Yeah, I still have issues with my mouth. Give me a match, you will find out. Yeah, I still have issue with my eyes. They don't always see in front of me. Yeah, I still have issues with whatever it is you may have your issues with. Be real and say, but I thank God he has worked on me, and there are some things I used to do. I don't do them no more. But don't discredit God's word. Don't try and act like you are perfect in this place and live like you don't even come to this place once you get out of here. You discredit God's word. And so when you begin to look at this and understand, whosoever despises the word shall be destroyed by disobedience. They'll be destroyed by being disinterested. They'll be destroyed by discrediting God's word. Because ultimately they will end up in a lake of fire, or their souls being unsaved. But look at what the word says on. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Now, that takes on a whole new attitude. It changes the tide now. It takes the focus off the negative and places it on the positive. It wanted to get the masses out the way first, because the masses despise his word. But there is a remnant who said, if God said it, that settles it whether I believe it or not. That there's a remnant that believes that God will back up what he says, because he says what he means and he means what he says. And if God said it, that's confirmation enough for me. And so it's this group of people now that the focus and the attention is now turned on. This is the group I hope you remember of. This is the group I hope you're a part of. The group here that says, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Now here's the, again, respect and reward. We had rejection and retribution. Now the focus is on respect and reward. Because when you respect the word of God, you shall be rewarded by that same word of God. Look again. If you look and see in the word of God, God says this, he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The word feareth here involves revenge and respect. It's about as it closes. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, you are God. The devil is a liar. You speak. You are in control. You are faithful. We count done that it is already well, that you will take care of this situation. Now call our attention back to your word. Let us not be sidetracked. Let us not let the enemy steal our focus. Because now comes the promise for the believers. And the devil don't want us to hear that. The devil doesn't want us to know that. That if we respect your word, we shall have the reward of your word. And for that we say thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. And all the believers shouted amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. He that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Again, the word feareth here involves reverence and respect. You shall respect, and I want us to see this because there are four things that I need you to jot down for your own learning to make sure that you practice these principles so you can profit from these principles because the enemy don't want you to know these principles. All right, look again, because respect brings about reward. Fear here involves reverence. It means a holy respect. The first thing we need to understand is that we show respect, first of all, by learning the word. Amen. Learning the word. When you respect God's word, you desire to learn it. You desire to know it. It has to do with intimate knowledge. It means not just to have head knowledge, but to have heart knowledge. To be like David and say, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I want to learn it so if my Bible gets misplaced or if someone takes it from me or something happens to it, that the word is hid underneath my skin so that the Holy Ghost has a running reference to pull up and utilize all that word I've learned to speak to my heart, to encourage me, to lift me up out of depression, oppression that the enemy may have brought me immediately in. The word has the ability to show me how God wants me to handle a situation. So I've got to learn the word. Because here's the truth. Something comes up. You ain't got time to, oh, Lord, let me flip this. What is the word? But when you learn this word, the Holy Ghost runs right through the reference of what you've learned and stop at the appropriate scripture and brings it back to your remembrance. And you say, aha, thank you, Lord, for that ready word. And that's how God wants you to respond to a situation. You can't always get caught up in emotions and self and the physical because you will ultimately be destroyed. because the flesh has a different perspective than the spirit. So not only if you respect the word, must you learn it, but the next thing you need to know about the word, if you respect it, you must live it. Live it. The word is not just given to us to learn and to know. The word is given to us to learn and to apply. Apply. James put it this way, when you know better. What's the sense in going to school if you're going to still stay ignorant? What's the sense in you taking out the time to prepare yourself and never use what you have been prepared to use? So learning the word is without benefit if you never put the learned word into practice. No, you don't become perfect at the first try. That's why we have to practice. We mess up today, but try and do it right tomorrow. Mess up tomorrow, try and do it right the next. And sooner or later, listen, you become perfect at what you practice perfectly. Practice don't make perfect. Practice makes perfect what is perfectly practiced. When in training and in weightlifting, etc., one of the things that a trainer will tell you, it's not all about the weight. It's about the structure. It's about the form. It's the way that you go up and come down. It's more about form and structure than it is by weight. You can lift up a lot of weight the wrong way and hurt yourself. But here's what they teach you. Pick up an appropriate size weight and learn how to do correctly the form of the curl or the exercise. And when you increase the weight, having learned the form and the structure, even when the weight increases, you'll still practice it perfectly because you have learned to perfectly practice it so that you'll get the optimal results. And so what we miss is, yes, when we know the word of God and we miss it, our whole desire is to practice it perfectly so that when we finally get it right, it'll be right and we won't have to go back and change things about it. Because listen, and practicing it perfectly may take a lot longer than half practicing it. And it looks like you got it right. Because here's the truth. Anybody who's got it right can see somebody else who's got it right. But if you're going around fooling folk, including yourself, by half doing it, you're going to have to unlearn what you learned to relearn what you have to do to make it right.
There you go.
Yeah. Lord, y'all not hearing me today. And so you learn it so you can live it. How many will be honest enough and say, I've learned some stuff I'm now trying to live? I've learned it already, got it. I know what it says, but now I'm putting it into practice, and I rise sometime, and I fall sometime, and I get weeks. Anybody still in the house will be real? I know the camera's on us, but the people out there that watch you, they know whether you're real or not. Some of them on your job watching you say, Lord, have mercy. Some of the folk in your community, you won't speak to them, but you buck jump all around the church and love the Lord so much. Listen, you got to start living what you learn. That's where the rubber meets the road, learning it. But not only must you learn it, but you must laud it, L-A-U-D. Listen, and that means to honor the word, to honor. So you learn it, to live it, to honor it, to laud it, laud it. L-A-U-D, lauded. Because when you honor the word of God, listen, man, God honors those who honor him. Jesus said, I do always those things which please my Father. When we learn how to honor the word of the Lord, then God has no other choice but to bring to pass that he honors. And that is his word. So when we honor his word, he honors us who honors his word. And when you tell God this, listen, God, you said in your word that if I do such and so, you will do such and so. I honor your word, God. I did it because You said it. And you know, you be real with God. Be real with God. I wouldn't have ever done it if you hadn't.